A while back, one of my loving brothers here decided that it was his goal in life to challenge me to develop sermons around the topics of his choosing. I guess he kind of got the idea of the fact that I've used SpongeBob, I've used Vomit, I've used Elton John, and so on. So he decided that absolutely anything is fair game. And his request a couple of weeks ago was Frosty the Snowman. So here we go. He didn't specify the song or the movie, so I took the liberty of including both. And so it does. It revolves around Frosty the Snowman and some lessons we can learn from his story. And watching the movie for the 40th or 50th time recently and listening to the song for the gazillionth time, here's some things I came up with. Number one, first couple of verses, Frosty the Snowman, a jolly, happy soul. Fairy tale, they say, he was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life. One day, magic in the silk hat, was alive as he could be. First thing I notice about Frosty, and I want you to notice, is he had to be brought to life by someone else. You know, snow's snow, and it does its thing, but it doesn't become a snowman on its own. It doesn't come to life on its own. The kids had to make him. The magic of the hat had to animate him. Sound familiar? We didn't make ourselves. You know, we didn't come up with the idea of humanity. We didn't come up with the idea of life. That's God's thing. God made us in His image on day six of creation. And if He had not done so, we would not be here. Evolution is a farce. Life does not come from nothing. Life comes from life. Therefore, God had to be actively involved for us to exist. He breathed into us the breath of life. Without that, we're not here. You know, and then we kind of go along in the garden, and then there's that moment where Adam and Eve eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we die spiritually. Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Elsewhere in the book of Romans, we're reminded that because one man sinned, death came into the world, and now we all die spiritually. And so He brought us to life, we died spiritually, and so He had to bring us back to life. Remember what we were looking at last week in Ephesians chapter 2? That we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but He made us alive together in Christ Jesus. He breathed back into us the breath of spiritual life. Romans 6 and verse 4, He raised us to walk in newness of life. So not only do we not exist without God making us originally, spiritually we're dead if He doesn't remake us. There was nothing we could do with our spiritual condition without His intervention. You know, He gave us the law and we couldn't follow it. He gave us the prophets and we couldn't follow them. He had to remake us, revitalize us. We'll talk about that one in a minute. But He had to instill life in us. And it's only in Christ that we're truly alive. You know, you can build a snowman and you can pretend he's Parson Brown or you can pretend he's a circus clown all day long, but there's no real life there if something does not animate that snowman like the hat did in Frosty. I can move and talk and exist in this world. I can go to work. I can have a spouse. I can have children. I can live 90 years plus, but if I'm not in Christ, I'm a dead man walking. I'm not really alive. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes only to kill, to steal and to destroy, but I've come that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. It's only in Christ that we're alive. It's only in Christ that we get the most that there is to live in this world. John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. The only way I will ever be alive spiritually and alive eternally is in Christ Jesus. And so like Frosty, he had to make me, and then he had to bring me to life. Number two, Frosty's made of snow. When we think of snow, we think of what? Purity. Innocence. We think of dazzlingly white. Sounds like us when God gets through with us. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll wash you white as snow. Notice carefully the wording. Though your sins be as scarlet. Even if our sins are as dark as they can be. Even if they stain like nothing else in life can stain. God said, I can make you white as snow. Flip over to Psalm 51. Listen to David. Now then, listen to David in the mindset of Isaiah chapter 1. Though your sins be as scarlet. As David's writing Psalm 51 and he's pouring out his heart to God, are his sins as scarlet? Absolutely. Adultery, murder, lying, all of that. Landscape's pretty bleak. Isaiah 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Verse 7. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. How many times have you ever heard the phrase whiter than snow? Have you ever seen it come true in our world? Revelation 7 and verse 14 tells us how we get there. Who are these? Oh, you know who they are. There's the ones who've been washed white by the blood of the Lamb. A white dog on white snow looks dirty. Even a white car on white snow looks dirty. Psalm 51, a child of God washed by the blood of the Lamb makes even the snow look dingy. I will wash you whiter than snow. You want to talk about dazzling? You want to talk about clean, pure perfection? And so I love the image of the child of God and Frosty the Snowman and purity, cleanliness. Number three, my third thought comes from the movie. Frosty's first words were what? Happy birthday. I've sung happy birthday with tremendous respect and feeling of awe at more than one baptism. Why? Because of John chapter 3. Because that's exactly what it is. John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. Recognizing that he is from God or he wouldn't have the power to do the things that he's doing. Recognizing that he's a teacher that excels beyond anything that Nicodemus has ever experienced in his life. And Jesus, drawing him into the conversation, says in verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, He cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, still with his mind on the physical, the mundane, the earthly, says, how can a man be born when he's old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Baptism is our rebirth. I made the comment earlier that God had to bring us to life the first time, and then he had to bring us to life a second time. This is it. And like Frosty said, it's our happy birthday. It's this rebirth through our obedience to the gospel. For by grace are you saved through faith. So when we take the faith part and we act on the grace, God remakes us. New life, new spirit, new being. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. All of a sudden, things change. Some are bothered by the idea of referring to baptism as a birthday, and that's fine. It doesn't affect me either way. Personally, I cannot think of a more important birthday to celebrate. It means a whole lot more to me than the day I was born. I've had enough of those to celebrate. But the one that changed me forever? Wow. What about remembering that one? Number four, staying with movie. Have you ever noticed how Frosty looks out for Karen's interests over his? You know, they find a boxcar headed to the North Pole. Frosty's got it made. He's not going to melt. He's going to make it. And yet Frosty gets off the boxcar when he realizes Karen's getting sick. The last place on earth he needs to be is a hothouse on the side of a snowy hill, and yet he carries Karen into the hothouse. We just talked about it Wednesday night. Christianity's all about Matthew 7 and verse 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Actively seek the good in another person's life prior to seeking the good in your own life. Be about the process of doing good to other people. Paul said it this way, Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. With humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, so what's this attitude, Paul? Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Talk about putting somebody else's interest ahead of your own. God comes to Jesus and said, I need you to go to earth. I need you to be a man. I need you to be weak. I need you to be frail. I need you to cry. I need you to be hungry. I need you to be tired. I need you to die. And Jesus emptied himself of part of his divinity. Left heaven, came to earth because my interest came before his. If I love the Lord, if love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, sums up the law and the prophets. Matthew 22. If love your neighbor sums up all of the New Testament law, Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, that's what Paul says, shouldn't doing good to others kind of be our MO? Shouldn't that be the way other people would describe us as they go about doing good? I mean, Titus 2 and verse 14 says we were created to do good works, to be zealous for good deeds. And so from Frosty, we learn to put other people first. Number five comes from both the movie and the song. It says, Frosty knew the sun was hot that day, so he said, let's run and we'll have some fun now before I melt away. Down through the village, they go marching. They run here and there. They play chase. He only pauses a moment when the cop tells him to stop. Being made of snow has its advantages. It has its disadvantages. As far as advantages, if you're made of snow, I guess you don't get cold. You're kind of already there. It also makes you, what is it they describe him in the movie, as the fastest belly whopper in the world. As far as disadvantages, being made of snow sort of gives you a limited lifespan. Especially down here. Snow's today and gone tomorrow. Which most of the time is just fine with me. It's fascinating to me that we're compared to something with an even shorter lifespan than snow. What is your life but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away? All right, it's snowing. You walk out, there's 3 inches of snow on the ground. Maybe it stays cold in the south for a few days and it lasts 2 or 3 days. But God said, you're the vapor, that when you walked out that door and you exhaled and you saw the vapor and it was gone immediately. He said, that's you. That means that we, like Frosty, have a limited time to get everything in. You know, Frosty said, hey, let's have a parade. Let's go town. Let's look in all the stores. Let's do everything that we need to do, and let's do it right now, because what? He said, I don't like red thermometers, and it's getting red in a hurry. We have white fields to harvest. We have love to share. We have service to render and so much more. And we've got blank to blank to get it in. It doesn't mean we have to live life at a frenetic pace. But it does mean we have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. It does mean we've got to run the race with endurance. It means that we don't have time to just stop and be part of this life. Frosty, it says, only paused a moment when the traffic cop told him to stop. We cannot let the world and its distractions keep us from our spiritual works. We have jobs to do in this life. We have a limited amount of time to do. We have a limited amount of time to reach those people that mean the most to us with the gospel. And if I'm pausing for everything else in this world, I may not get around to it. Priority. Priority, priority. Number last. Again, the movie and the song. Wave goodbye saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. I'd already written this. Saying goodbye is never easy. And the more someone means to us, the more an impact his or her passing makes on our lives. But the death of a Christian is hardly the end of the world. And considering the timing, we'd go back and add this line. This is one of those easier said than done things. Because the humanity breaks, the heart hurts, the hole's there. But Revelation 14 and verse 13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors forevermore. You know, Wynelle labored till the day it was time to go home. And she labored with a broken body, but a spirit that was never broken. And she can rest from that. And as hard as that is on us, I wouldn't ask her to come back for anything in the world. Psalm 116 and verse 15, the idea of blessed in the eyes of God or precious in the eyes of God is the death of one of His saints. Our reunion is just a matter of time. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. You said, all those that died before you, they're not dead and gone. He said, He's going to bring them back with Him. And so all those that we've lost, that we love, that mean so very much to us who are in Christ, they're coming back with Him to get us if we're still alive. And we get to meet them in the air. And if we die first, we get to be part of that welcoming committee. when he comes back to get those who are left alive. Is it hard for those that are left behind? Absolutely. Is it a beautiful thing? Without a doubt. So what have we learned? Number one, we are totally dependent on God. We were totally dependent on God to bring us into existence. We are totally dependent on Him to remake us. We want that last resurrection. It's not going to happen because of my goodness. It's not going to happen because of anything that I am or will ever be outside of Christ Jesus. Number two, the only way to be white as snow is spiritually is in Christ. Do you sin? We all do. The only way to be pure is in the Son of God. Number three, baptism is our rebirth. And through that, we are renewed day by day. We get remade whiter than snow every day. Number four, the more we invest in others, the more we get out of life. Number five, our time to prepare for our last day on earth is limited. Make the most of it. And number six, live so that others will miss you when you're gone. But also live in such a way that they can rejoice at your reward. It's a lot easier to deal with the passing of a loved one who's in the arms of God than it is to deal with the passing of a loved one who's gone forever. Sounds like a lot of good could come from kind of being like Frosty in several ways, in the innocence and the purity and the kind-heartedness and in the urgency. So the question is, do you need to be more like Him today? Do you need to obey the gospel to be washed whiter than snow? Do you need to redirect your efforts so that you're invested in the lives of others and that you're making the most of